With the third piano concerto in C minor, we enter the world of Beethoven's middle period. No detailed sketching is known for the C minor concerto, but the Kafka miscellany contains three interesting fragments. A sketch for a drum part leading to the cadenza. In the concerto, the idea of a duet for drums and solo piano was turned to poetic effect after the cadenza. On a different page, among sketches for other works, there are some unfamiliar developments of the opening theme. This canonic treatment, however, which doesn't appear in the concerto itself, served as a dramatic start to the original cadenza. The remaining sketch outlines a rondo theme. Then the orchestral entry, pianissimo. Then again marked solo. Notice the pause on that last note. This isn't so far removed in principle as we might think at a first glance, although melodically only the first two notes remained. Compare the final version. But the sequence of events remained: the quiet entry of the orchestra with the theme on the oboe, the second strain of the theme given to the soloist, and in fact leading to a similar pause on the dominant. Returning to the sketch, the pause we've just reached is followed by a surprising burst of C major. This may have left its mark a few bars later in the concerto, when the oboe turns to the major key, only to be contradicted fortissimo by the full orchestra. Beethoven's fourth and fifth piano concertos, so different in character, shared one important departure from tradition: the domination of the soloist from the opening bars, although one early concerto of Mozart's, K271 in E-flat, provided a precedent. With Beethoven, the fifth concerto, the so-called Emperor, offered domination through brilliance. The fourth, the G major, through tenderness and restraint. The masterstroke was the quiet entry of the orchestra on an unpredictable harmony. Let's see how this opening evolved in the sketches. ¶¶ Now, that opening is a statement with a full close. Another sketch, unharmonized, brings the superior effect of a half close. A statement becomes a question, but the orchestra reply at this stage in the home key. Notice, however, that the B major harmony is touched in passing. And this will eventually become the orchestra's first word. But let's continue with the sketch for the tutti. There we have a modulating idea containing the germ of this. Next, we find further development of the opening. And a cadence theme. In that it's not hard to recognize an embryo of this. In this sketch, the orchestra finish. And the next solo entry is noted with a G major chord, followed by an upward scale in thirds. The idea of the scale remained, preceded with a downward flourish, as we know. In the end, as in the Emperor and the violin concerto, there was no rounding off before the entry of the solo. It became an overlap, ensuring continuity, including in the G major the element of dramatic surprise. Notterbohm, the pioneer where the sketches are concerned, pointed out that this movement has a rhythmic affinity with the Fifth Symphony. But a sketch for the finale of the concerto shows a link of a different kind. The question here is, would the Prisoner's Chorus in Fidelio have taken its existing form if the G major concerto had not been written? That's the Prisoner's Chorus motive. It's unused in the concerto, and the concerto concentrated on the latter part of the sketch. This produced the Rondo theme. Thank you. When we come to the Emperor Concerto and note the juxtaposition of the sketches, it's hard not to relate the opening preamble to the grand solo piano opening of the choral fantasy, which Beethoven had worked on in the previous pages. The Emperor opening appears in the shortest of shorthands, the bass of the orchestral chords, followed by an upward scale, filled out in the concerto, the genesis of the first subject proper was traced by Notterbohm in this way. Later on the same page. The first bar became expanded into two bars. And the trill is then changed into a turn, which became a dominating feature of the movement. From now on, the first two bars remain constant. The rest follows by stages. A similar laborious process marked the advent of one of the secondary themes. Let's pick up this theme as it reappears in the concerto after the brief written in cadenza. For the slow movement, once again, choice of key caused some rethinking. From E-flat to C major was an unlikely move. And as it turned out, an unprofitable experiment. After this, the sketches for the theme appear a semitone lower in B major. And this, although seemingly remote, has one sound in common with the main key of E flat, if not a written note, the third of the chord, D sharp. On this enharmonic note, the theme significantly begins. Here's the first of the B major sketches. Later, we lose the initial D sharp, but come nearer to the shape of the opening bars. The next two bars introduce a chromatic feature. This was postponed until later in the theme. The rewritings are copious, but one feature strikes the onlooker as a particular inspiration. The transformation of this changed by a free kind of inversion into this. The key of B major had another near link with the E-flat world of the outer movements. B may fall a semitone to B-flat and so return. This happens at the end of the movement, followed by a tentative suggestion of the rondo theme. For this transition, Beethoven made a brief note. There he wrote in etc., and then literally scribbled in the outlines of the second half of the rondo theme. Over those descending chromatics, he wrote octaves, and that is, in fact, how it turned out. Scholars and musicologists may warn us not to take a composer's sketches at face value. He may use his own shorthand or experiment with ideas that were obviously not intended to be performed as they stand. Against this, there's also the thought that we shall inevitably prefer the final version simply because it is familiar. However, Beethoven's reshapings and thought processes seem in general so logical that there's little danger of this arising. The opening themes of his two other mature concertos, the Triple Concerto and the Violin Concerto, illustrate this to perfection. A sketch for the opening of the Triple Concerto. And the end product. Finally, the Violin Concerto. Thank you. In this case, the framework is complete, even to the movement of harmony in the exact number of bars. What intervened can only be called the labor and instinct of genius.